Welcome to the Greater Church Podcast. We are praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message will be an encouragement and blessing to you. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And it says, so he came to Nazareth. Obviously, we're talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. This is his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Hey, over the next few moments, I'm hoping that you're taking notes. I want to preach to you from this idea or from this subject, close to home, close to home. Come on, would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this moment. I pray, Lord, that you would speak. Every Sunday we come here, Lord God, and we're expecting for you to speak to our lives, Lord. And I pray today that it wouldn't be any different. Pray, Father God, that your words, Lord Jesus, will penetrate the hearts, that they will find their way through the airways, Lord God, and video signal. Even time, Lord God, for those that are not watching this on a Sunday, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would speak to their minds, Lord. And I believe, Lord God, and I declare in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we will find freedom in this house. That we will see your hand, Lord God, over every single moment, the rest of this service, Lord. Father, we thank you and we love you, Lord. And it's in your precious and beautiful name that we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, if you're expecting for Jesus to do something, would you put your hands together and make some? Come on, if you got an expecting heart. Come on, if you're in the text chat, put some fire emojis. If you're ready for God to do some work, I want you to make some noise for Jesus in his place. Amen. Close to home. Distance is determined by nationality. I am fully convinced of this. Give me a second. I'm going to explain to you what that means. Distance is determined by nationality. It's funny because it matters where you're born. It matters where you're from. When you ask somebody, yo, how far are you? I'm not going to believe you depending on your nationality. If I told you, yo, I need you to be at the house at 7 o'clock at night, I'm going to tell you if you're Caribbean, if you're Cuban, Puerto Rican, Jamaican, if you're Haitian, if you're Caribbean, I'm going to tell you 6:30. I might even mess around and tell you 6 o'clock because I know you're going to get there around 7:05, 7:15. And if I tell you 7 o'clock, you're going to get there at 8 o'clock. I may or may not operate on Caribbean standard time sometimes. Even switching the service, me and my wife were like, if we would have moved the service up, Jason, I probably would have been making sure that I told everybody the time, sending out emails, smoke signals. I would have sent you personalized letters to your house. But it's an 11:30. We moved it up a little bit. I'm like, I ain't telling them nothing. They're going to learn in the church. I'm going to say it in the church. I hope you came. God bless you because you're going to get here on your time. Amen. And, you know, some of my brothers who are on time, who hold to the fact that to be early is to be on time, and to be on time is to be late, and to be late is to be left behind. I know Carlos and Jamal, I know y'all Marines, y'all and Sherry, I know y'all are on time. Y'all don't play with time. Time is money for some of our business people. But when I think about this idea of close to home or the season that we're in, the time that we're in right now, home means so many different things to some of us. Like, yo, we know we have our cultures and we have our trends. And I make light of the timing depending on cultures. But, yo, when you're talking about home, that's a safe place, right? Like for some of you, you may live in Georgia and this is where you've created your home. But you know that you have a hometown, a place where you go back and you see your friends and you see your crazy friends and you see the ones that you don't want to see. And you have familiarity that is produced when you go home. Home means so many different things. For some of us, home is a space where it's like, yo, it's warm. And it feels kind of like what this room feels like. And that's why we created it. That's why we created the mood, because we want you to feel like you're home. When you walk in here, the first thing that you see is welcome home. Why? Because home is where your heart is, and home is that safe place that you can feel. For some of us, though, home doesn't feel as safe. Home is probably filled with turmoil. Home is a place that you wanted to run away from. If I'm honest with you, maybe you even want to run away from it today. But I want to let you know that in this season, especially in the scripture that we're talking about, Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And what he does is that he had just came out from this temptation with the devil where he spent 40 days fasting and praying before God. And the first thing he does is that he goes back home and he starts this message. And I believe that this message can speak to you wherever you find yourself, whatever that intimate place of home is. Maybe Thanksgiving wasn't so fun because you were by yourself at home, and maybe you couldn't go to your mom's house or grandma's house because of COVID-19. But man, if you're able to grab what Jesus is offering you today, I believe that this is going to be strength for you, that it's going to be the things that you need. When we talk about baby Jesus, that's what Christmas is, right? We talk about the birth of Jesus. But I always ask this question, was Jesus's job just to stay as a baby? Because we celebrate it like it is. We celebrate the manger. We celebrate the virgin birth as we should. We should honor the Lord. But Jesus' job was that he was a baby because he had a mission, because he was starting something. And this was the pivotal point of this entire history-shaking moment, that Jesus would become a child, that he would become an adolescent, that that adolescent would become a man, and that that man would one day become our Savior. So today, I want you to look at these things that I think we can pull from the scripture found in Isaiah, which I think are some of the most beautiful things that I've seen in scripture when it comes to Jesus. Amen? I want you to write this down. A couple of things that we see, six different things in this portion of scripture found in Isaiah. Number one, the Bible says that Jesus says, I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. It's the good news. That's what the gospel is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It alludes to this fact. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying to them, I'm scared that the way that Eve was tricked by the serpent, that you are being tricked and removed from the simplicity of the gospel. Because when we think about the word gospel, we can add so many different words and so many different descriptions to it, when in reality, the gospel is just good news. It's that you were separated from God, that Eve and Adam have sinned against God and have been separated from him. That God instituted a plan for there to be atonement, or for there to be a sacrifice, for them to be able to get closer to God. And that sacrifice, immediately after that sacrifice sometimes, or maybe a week or maybe a month later, they would find themselves back in sin, and they would be stained and removed from God again. But that Jesus came into the picture, the birth, Christmas, the story of Jesus is that he would come and that he would die as a spotless lamb, that he would create a space for you to be reconnected with Jesus. We were broken. We were severed. He wasn't listening to us. We weren't talking to him. But here it is that by faith, Romans 10:9, we have been reconnected to God. And now we have established a relationship where, I'm saved. That means that I can have a conversation with God. That means that my life is directed by God. That's the gospel. It's good news. It's the fact that you couldn't do it on your own, that no matter how much you tried to do it, you couldn't do it. But that Jesus came in and he did the heavy lifting and he afforded you salvation. And now me and you have an opportunity to dwell with God for all of eternity. This is good news. Especially in a time like today when you're talking about good news. There's not a lot of good news going on nowadays. But we got some in the fact that we can have a relationship with Jesus. When he talks about preaching the gospel to the poor, he's not talking about a financial bracket. Isaiah wasn't penning these words to speak to a certain demographic financially. When he's talking about poor, he's talking about all of us. A few years ago, me and my wife, I was given the opportunity to go speak in Colorado, and we went to this place called Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And I mean, it's just beautiful, y'all. Like, if you've never been to Colorado, just go to Colorado. Make sure you drive with your windows up when you're driving through downtown, though, because marijuana is legal over there. But, you get high in the car. We went to Colorado, and we're sitting there, and we're talking to him, and it was just like, the atmosphere was different. And you walk up, you could just feel it. Like, everybody's just kind of like, good afternoon. Hello. They're all, like, nice. And I was like, what's going on? Like, talk to me about the culture of the city. I got to preach to these people. Who are they? And he was like, I'll tell you this. The billionaires bought out the millionaires. And I said, oh, that changed everything. I had my good clothes on. I make sure I pressed it. No holes in my jeans. I threw on my suit jacket. What's funny is that as we were going through it and we went skiing and, man, it was, I mean, just a fun time that we were able to have together. And it was hilarious because we're sitting in this town and I'm watching as, like, people are reacting with each other and they treat each other so differently because they got a little bit of money. You know that. You've been there. You've been around those people. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, like the culture, like the way that they acted, like it was just completely different. Can I tell you that there were individuals there, bro? The money that those people had was ridiculous. But doesn't matter how much money, 90-something plus Olympians, skiing Olympians, and any type of sports that comes from snow or in the cold, 90 plus of them have joined the Olympics from that city and from that town. They have more gold medal winners than the entire planet just in that town. So you can imagine the culture of that town. And you know what's crazy? What's crazy is that I was hanging out there, and as I was watching the culture and the atmosphere, I went to Goodwill. Come on, somebody. I said, these people got money. I know they're giving clothes away. I know they donating good stuff. So I went to the thrift shop. I said, yo, let's go check it out. I found like these Banana Republic jackets. This is a side note. Like, there were $500 jackets for like $30. But I had so much. I had a book bag because we fly economy and I ain't got millionaire money. So I couldn't stuff everything in there. So I couldn't buy a lot of stuff. But I'm going to go back. Jeff, if you're watching right now, I'm coming back. I think in February, I'm going back to speak over there. And I'm bringing an empty suitcase, y'all. I'm going to start a thrift shop. Y'all let me, man. I got it for the low. What's funny is that as I looked at the culture of everybody who was around there, if I'm honest with you, as much money as they had, there's more pain, more suicide in that city than anywhere in the world. The high school students are dying by the dozens. Where it's culture now. It's just normal. That you have a 14-year-old that doesn't have a license but is driving around in a brand new Mercedes. It's sad because as I watched how much money that city had and how much money is moving through that city, they could never buy salvation. That they could never pay for their salvation. That if I'm honest with you, the depression, the suicide that they're dealing with, I don't care how many psychiatrists and how many doctors they talk about, that they can't buy their way out of that. That their children and the sickness that's going, I don't know how much money they have to put towards it, but they can't find that. Just the very act of salvation, the fact that we have something that's free, but it costs so much because it is immeasurable. You don't have an idea how privileged we are to be labeled as poor in scriptures, that no matter how much money you have, that you can't buy your freedom, that no matter how much money you have, you can't buy this escape from reality. I don't care how much you have in the bank. When he talks about poor, yo, he's talking about all of us because we can't afford it. But come on, how many of y'all know that we serve a Jesus that gave of his blood, that the thing that was immeasurable, that it was insurmountable, that very amount, the money that me and you could not pay, that he paid it in full. That Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Salvation, though it is free, it's invaluable. This first portion is why Greater Church exists. Our mission at Greater Church is that we want to reach and empower all people towards a relationship with Jesus. The reason why we set up these lights is because we want somebody to come to know Jesus. The reason why we put this Christmas tree is because we want somebody to come to know Jesus. The reason why the worship team shows up here on Thursday amidst their busy schedule and having to work regular jobs, they still come here and they practice and they play on Sundays is because we want somebody to come to know Jesus. Because come on, we got some good news. Though you think you are far from God, there is an exit plan that he created from your sin, and his name is Jesus, and by the blood that he spilled, you have access to a relationship with Jesus. That's why Greater Church exists, because we want to make sure that we preach the gospel. Number two, I want you to write this down. It says he came to preach the gospel, and then he came to heal the brokenhearted. I'm reminded of this story in John chapter 5 of this man by the pool in Bethsaida. And this individual, he had been there for 38 years, and he was handicapped. And what would happen was that the angel of the Lord would go into this pool. And when he would go into this pool, the waters would move. And the first person that was able to jump into this pool would be healed. And here it is for decades. This man had been there for 38 years trying to jump into this pool to be able to receive his healing. And little by little, every single year, I can only imagine how much disappointment, how much heartache was in his life. There was a certain time that the waters would move. And that when the waters moved, that he was able to find freedom. People were able to get healed during that certain time. Yo, if I'm honest with you, there's a lot of times that I'm asking God, yo, when is my certain time? Like, when is it that you're going to stir the waters in my finances? When is it that you're going to stir the waters in my marriage? When is it that you're going to stir the waters in my relationship with my children? When is it that you come? I've had these moments, y'all, where my heart has been broken, where I feel like I cannot get it right. I can't feel, everything is swifting and the sands are shifting. And I feel like one day is good and the next day is, I feel like nobody's pushing me into these waters and I can't find it. Yo, I love the fact that we serve a God that doesn't like steps. He doesn't go through all of these steps. He's the type of God that can meet you immediately where you are. And in just a second, he can turn it around. The Bible said that he turns to this man and he asks him, do you want to be healed? And the first thing that came to his mind was, yeah, the thing is that every year I go here and, you know, nobody pushes me in. And he starts complaining about his problems. Come on, it's easy for us to complain about the problems, ain't it? It's easy. Corona messed up my business. I can't go hang out. Can't do the things that I want to do. There's a change. And man, Pastor Jeremy preached so beautifully today at the 9 o'clock service. And there's a change. And this change hasn't been beneficial for me. But man, I want to tell you that you serve a God that he skips steps. You think you got to work for this thing when in reality, it's already there and available for you. That it's brokenhearted that you have. That God can meet you. That the disappointment that the season has created, that we're serving a Jesus, that we love a Jesus, and not only does he proclaim the gospel of peace to the poor, but he actually heals the brokenhearted. Number three, I want you to write this down. He brings freedom to the captive. He brings freedom to the captives. I don't dream very much. I don't have like a lot of dreams. Like my wife, she has the most elaborate dreams, bro. And it's like she sits down and she begins to explain it. And I'm like, write it down. Like, ask the Lord interpretation. Praise God. And she has, I don't have dreams. Like, I'll have a dream. Like, I'll be here and all of a sudden I'm standing here talking to you. And then we're like at a bank. And then like I'm running down the street from the police. I'm like, you're not going to catch me. It's like the weirdest things. Like, I don't have dreams. I hate, though, when I do have certain dreams. And I'm going to ask you, maybe this is you. You ever had those dreams where you're like, maybe you're running away from something or you're running to something and you just feel like you can't. You're just like, you're like, everybody's running. You just feel like you can't. Like, you ever had those dreams? Like, I'm not the only one. Okay, awesome. Like you know, you try to get into a physical altercation and you're just like, boy, when this thing come, though, boy, watch. Wait for it. I'm telling you. Wait. Just watch. It's on the way. I'm almost there. You ever had those dreams and you feel like you're just stuck? Have you ever had those dreams in real life where you feel like you're stuck? Like you feel like you just can't get out of this addiction. Or you feel like this depression just keeps coming back. And you feel like you're powerless. Like you try everything. You did all the different herbal medicines. You did the pills. And sometimes it feels like I just can't get out of this season. Like it feels like everything is in slow motion. You're looking at your bank account and this thing is looking rough. And you're like, okay, God, you're going to turn it around. But it feels like it's just like, God, it's just so slow in the way that it goes. And I can't outrun my problems because I'm too slow. I can't outrun this depression that I feel like every single week it just hits me. And especially like at this time, I just get this feeling. And I don't know if it's Monday for you. I don't know if it's Tuesday for you. I don't know if it's Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, but there's this recurring thought that comes and it's like this, like just hard captivity. It's the best way to put it, right? Like you feel like you're prisoner to this thing. Like you stop watching porn, but then you feel like a couple months later, a couple weeks later, like you're right back to it. Or you stopped feeling this anxiety and it's been wrecking your life and you just feel like you don't want to take a step in anything. I don't have faith for anything. I'm scared. Like if I do this, this is going to happen. And you have 45 different scenarios. And then you get this good time where you're just like, yo, let's go. I'm ready to do it. Whatever it is, let's go. And then it just, Wednesday come around and you're just like, I don't really know, man. Like, like you just feel like you're stuck, like you're captive. Can I tell you that when Jesus talks about bringing freedom to the captives, that he's speaking about us, and sometimes that's a mental or an emotional state that you find yourself in, that you feel captive, that you can't get out of this thing. And sometimes it's a spiritual matter when it talks about freeing the captives, is those that have been locked up and have no way out. Can I tell you that when you talk about Christians and when you talk about those that are not Christians, the unbelievers, right? So the people who have not confessed Jesus as Lord, those are non-believers. They haven't believed in Jesus. And then you have Christians, right? So a non-believer, listen to me close. If you're watching online, I want you to lean in. There can be a time where you are captive, and sometimes it's not spiritual. Sometimes it's just something that's in your mind, something that you got to work through. There's some junk. You got to give your heart to Jesus first and foremost. And then there's another time where there can be demonic possession. It got weird in here. It's not Halloween. It's Christmas. You know, you're messing it up. No. Listen to me. There can be these moments where you don't know why you keep doing the same thing over and over. And you feel like you have no control and no power over this thing. And you just feel like you say the wrong things all the time. And you didn't mean to curse him out or curse her out. But you just feel like, yo, I don't know why I did that. And then you get back in the car. You're like, why did I say that? Man, outside of Jesus, you're free reign. You can give ground to the enemy to be able to stand. He has a foothold that he can have in your life that you're not going to be able to overcome this. That's why I always say this in church. We say we don't want to be hypocrites. Like, I'm going to go to church when I stop smoking, drinking, when I get right. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to walk in the doors because fire is going to come down and it's going to burn everybody. And I don't want God to kill me in church. When in reality, that's the farthest. That's the devil lying to you. You're never going to be able to eliminate drugs, alcohol. You're never going to be able to do any of those things by yourself. You need Jesus. It has to be the power of Jesus that could bring freedom to the captives. It has to be God that changes these things. So don't feel like, yo, but I messed up so much I can't come to church. You can come at all times. This place was created for you. This place is all about you. God wants to bring freedom to the captives. And I know, man, that culture sometimes, home, right? It creates these thoughts and these patterns that you have on a regular basis that you feel like, well, this is just me. This is the way that my mom was. This is the way that I was. This is the way that I was born. And man, I had an amazing conversation and I got to hang out with Jamal a little bit, and he said a line that stuck with me. He said, we do what we're taught. So sometimes it's a constant thinking of, yo, this is all I saw my family do. My daddy told me that this is who I was. My mom told me that this is who I was. And then I saw my brothers do the very same thing. And you can identify with those things and find yourself in a place where you think that you are that thing that you do on a regular basis. When in reality, just because you lied, that doesn't make you a liar. Just because you did something, it doesn't mean that you are that thing. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that me and you can become the righteousness of God, that you have an opportunity in Jesus that you can find freedom from this thing called captivity. That though you feel like you're locked and chained and you can't move out of this thing, yo, there's freedom available for you in the house. His name is Jesus. The Bible says that he brought freedom to the captive. And then he says, number four, he brought recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. And I love the way that Isaiah penned this, because he's not necessarily talking about those that can't see, like something that happened when they were born, or maybe an illness or an accident created this thing where you lost vision. But it's actually this thing that you can't see God. Like, when pain comes, it's pain. Like, this is what's going on. When a storm comes, it's a storm. But for those of us who have called on the name of Jesus, those of us who understand that this fourth point is of beauty because God gives it to us, is that we see God in the middle of everything. I hate watching every movie now, because every movie now, number one, I cry. I don't know why I cry for everything. Like, I can't see anything. Lydia came in last night, and I thought she had, like, allergies. I was like, you got COVID. Get away. Coronavirus. I was like, leave me. And she's like, her eyes were puffy. I'm like, babe, what happened to you? I'm putting her out there right now. I love you. I'm like, babe, what happened? She's like, I watched that stupid Jeremy Camp movie. And I don't know if you ever seen that. Anybody seen that Jeremy Camp movie? For those of you that see, you understand why her eyes were red. She cried. What's the name of the movie, baby? I Still Believe. You already know, with a title like that, I'm not going to watch that. I cried for Scooby-Doo, and I'm like, oh, you saw it. It was a ghost. I told you it was Freddy. And it's crazy, because I'm like, I have these moments where I'm like, I feel like I'm like crying for everything, and I see God so intricately in so many different things. I have conversations with people, and I'm like, yo, you don't need another pill. You need Jesus. It's not that you're getting so angry at everything and that you want to fight everybody and that you're a tough guy and that you feel this in your heart. It's that dad wasn't there. And you felt like you had to do it on your own. And there's freedom available to you. That this scripture, when we talk about recovery of sight to the blind, it's for you to be able to see God again. For some of us, we've called on the name of Jesus and we feel like we don't see him anymore. If I'm honest with you, it feels like I can't even hear him anymore.
I've been praying and I've been asking God, yo, help me come through again. And it feels like the pain in the life of a believer, it really pushes you towards your purpose. The hurt, the pain, when you do a push-up, it's not so that you can feel amazing and say, oh my God, I love this gym. Oh, this felt so good. I feel so relaxed right now. Quincy, like, yo, when you go to the gym, you're supposed to come out of there talking about, I can't walk. My legs, Jesus, help me. Like, yo, that's the part of it. Because the pain, you know, is going to produce muscle. It's going to produce strength in you. It's going to produce purpose. It's going to produce. So when we, as believers, when we see pain and when we experience something, we don't run from it. We lean into it because we understand that it's going to produce some type of purpose in our life. And at the end of the day, God is going to use that as a platform so that we can proclaim, I thought I was going to lose my mind when he died or when she died. But can I tell you that God came and rescued me in the middle of that, that he healed my broken heart, that he gave me my sight back, and I was able to see him in the midst of this relationship that broke down, in the midst of this job that let me go, in the midst of COVID sweeping my dreams away. In the middle of it, I got to dream again. I got to see things again. My vision is back because I got God, because he brought recovery to the blind. Recovery, that means you had it once before. That means you used to hear from God. That means you used to see God so clearly in anything. That means that you used to have dreams. You had notebooks of orphanages, of songs, of books, of different things that you wanted to do. But life has a way of knocking that out of you. But can I tell you that you serve a Jesus and he's in the house tonight and he wants to recover your sight, that he wants to give you back that dream. He wants to give you back the vision. Jesus, this baby that we're talking about during this season, that his job, his responsibility was that he wanted to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Number five, I want you to write this down. It says he came to bring freedom to the oppressed. Came to bring freedom to the oppressed. The word oppressed, it means terrorized. Bringing freedom to the captive and bringing freedom to the oppressed are two totally different things. You may read that and say, oh, he said the same thing over and over. He just said it in a different way. No, he was careful. Isaiah was careful in the way that he said that. Because see, as a captive, you have no, you can't do anything. You're locked behind it. This is a legal matter, right? Like if you got handcuffs, you're captive. If you're in jail, you're not gonna get out of jail. That's called an escape. That's another charge. Like you're locked up. You can't do nothing. Locked up. They won't let me out. You're not getting out. But when you meet Jesus, he gives you freedom. But what will happen is that you have these moments. Scripture talks about it very clearly. He says sometimes when a demon comes out of a person. I'm not trying to be weird and kooky. Let's have conversations about this. I've taught about this. There's a message that we did. Don't be scared. Get set free. We did a message that you can look for it on YouTube or listen to it on the podcast, and it explains what I'm talking about. But there's this story that Jesus talks about. He says when a demon leaves him, he goes around, he comes back, and he sees that the house is swept in order, your life, your spirit, that is swept in order. It's clean. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in there, then what will happen is that he'll bring seven demons even worse than himself, and the previous state is going to be so much better than this state now because you're back to being completely possessed. But what will happen is that when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, that doesn't stop you from going through storms. That doesn't stop you from having these moments where all hell is breaking loose all around you. Let me explain what that means. Terrorism, it's a real thing. It's something that I feel like with the news, with politics, with COVID and all this stuff, like we don't talk about ISIS anymore. We don't talk about how these guys, Sherry and how Jamal and so many of you guys that have actually risked your life to protect the freedom that I possess so lightly sometimes. The fact that I can run my mouth on a stage and talk about Jesus is because you sacrifice so much. That you spent days, months, years of your life away from your family to provide this freedom that sometimes we take for lightly. But when we're talking about, I completely forgot what I was saying. Read my notes. When you're talking about terrorism, terrorism is not about somebody running a plane into a building. Terrorism is not about somebody strapping a bomb to themselves, running into a office building and blowing up the office building. That's not their goal. The goal of that thing is that when the plane hits the building, when the bomb goes off, they want to create this mental captivity, this oppression, this terrorism that in your mind you begin to think, if we don't give way to what they're asking us, this is going to happen again. If we don't do what they're saying in the way that they're saying it, they're going to blow us up again. again, they're going to do something, and you walk around in terror. And that's what Satan wants to put in your life. Though you have been set free from depression, he will come back and he say, I know you're feeling bad, and I know that you're going to go right back into it. I messed up, and I'm going to mess up again. And this terror is constantly oppressing you, where you think, yo, I'm not fit to do anything. I don't want to serve at the church because I do this. And I know that I've gotten set free from this, but believe it or not, it's going to come back. And you walk around in this thing where you're just like, sooner or later, he's going to break up with me. Sooner or later, they're going to walk away from me. Sooner or later, the person is going to leave me. And you begin to think that it's what Lydia talked about when she preached, this perceived rejection. Well, you already think this is going to happen one way or another. And it feels like you're terrorized by the devil. You wake up in the morning and you had a great night's sleep. You get up and you brush your teeth. And for no reason, all of a sudden, you just get these thoughts. Oh, your day sucks. You know you messed up. You did this. You did that. You know this is going to happen. He's going to walk away from you. He's going to mess up. He's going to do it again. Though, can I tell you that Jesus is here to set you free from that? That there's freedom available in the building. That God can set you free from this oppression. See, when it talks about captivity, that's something that happens on the inside and that you're locked up and you can't do nothing. As believers, we can't be possessed because possession means ownership. But we can be oppressed. I read the story and I think about Peter. Peter walked on water. The waves were everywhere. There was a storm. The waves were everywhere. The boat was getting tossed to and fro. And they see Jesus walking on the water. Jesus sees him. Peter sees him. He says, a ghost. He's like, no, it's me. What's up? And then he goes, if it's you, then let me walk out on the water. He walks on the water. The one thing that we never preach and that we never talk about is the fact that there was still a storm. And Peter was standing up on top of a storm. Could it be that the problem that you're going through and that the storm that you're going through is not that God wants to free you of the storm around you, but he wants to free you of the storm that's inside of you, that he wants to bring healing inside of you, that what's around you, all hell can be breaking loose, but there is a peace, there is a comfort, there is a hope, there is an expectancy in Jesus that you know, I don't care what goes around me. I know who I got inside of me. I know who's deposited. I know who the Holy Spirit is. I know that I brought freedom. I got freedom. That though you may feel oppressed, man, that we got a God that brings freedom to those that are oppressed. Number 6, I want you to write this down. It says, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can I tell you that sin equals death, period. Come on, say it with me. Ready? Sin equals death, period. That means period, sorry. It's period. That's it. If you sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That if you sin against the holy God, that the payment that he gives you is death. That Adam and Eve, they were both in the garden, and he told them, don't touch this tree, because the day that you touch this tree, you will surely die. That when you commit a sin against God, you should die immediately. That's super morbid, Chino. I did some sins, and I haven't died yet. You better be grateful for the grace of God. Because if I'm honest with you, if you sin, the Bible says that you shall die. And for so long, even as a pastor, bro, if I'm honest with you, even as a pastor, I used to think that whenever I sinned against God, I needed to be punished by God before we were able to make a move into the next realm or level or the next season of my life. And I would think to myself, if I did something wrong, I know that if something bad happens to me, that's God dealing with me. He's giving me my consequences. Now I can continue to walk forward. And it was hard for me to pray. And it was hard for me to actually seek after God, because I was like, well, right now I need him to punish me before I get it. Why? Because the way that I didn't have a dad in my life, but I had a mom. And it wasn't until my mom was able to deal with, even if I did something wrong and she didn't know about it, like I would feel weird asking her for stuff. Like it just felt tense. You know what I'm talking about. Like if you do something and nobody knows about it, you just feel that heaviness. Like, oh my God, let me just tell her. You broke somebody or you stole their charger and you broke their charger. For some of us, we borrowed a car and we crashed that junk. Ugh. You feel that weight, but you gotta talk to them. And that's what I felt like with God. I felt like I had to be punished by God for God to receive me. And I thought that it was this back and forth, give and trade, where I do something bad and then he does something bad for me. When in reality, yo, that's the opposite of who God is. This is super tricky preaching. So I want you to listen to me because I want you to get this. And I've preached this before. I've talked about this certain point, but I feel like God has given me a little bit more revelation on it. He's shown me something that I want to show to you today. If you're watching online, yo, listen to me right now, because you can take this and you can run completely left field with this thing. But if you understand it, if you catch it, it's going to bring you freedom. When you think about sin, if you sin, God hates you. What if I told you that if you sin, that there's forgiveness for you? And that God doesn't hate you. Hold on. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to preach this thing and I'm going to land this thing because I want you to understand. I want you to understand something. Tricky preaching. I told you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. We got it on the screens. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so you may not sin. Everybody say, not sin. Not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation. A propitiation just means to win or regain the favor by doing something that pleases them. With God, it had to be blood. It had to be blood. That's the only way you pleased them. It had to be a sacrifice. If there was no blood, there was no remission of sins. With God, it had to be a sacrifice. So Jesus was our sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the whole world. My little children, I write you these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the world. For the world. Chino, I'm about to stunt. For those Ebonics Challenge friends, brothers and sisters of the Lord and Jesus, that means I'm about to go sin because I got forgiveness. Like, here's what it is. It says, don't sin, but if you do sin, Jesus got you. Oh, I'm straight. Oh, I'm about to. Hey. And then pray. A little A. And then pray. Lord, forgive me. Praise God. Yo, if you think that way, you missed it. Not only did you miss it, but it's dangerous. Because though there is forgiveness for you, there is also a judgment. For those of us who understood the word, and I know this isn't popular preaching, this isn't a great way to just build a church, but it's my responsibility to show you this and to teach you this. Because though there is forgiveness for your sins, if you continue to sin willfully, and say, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. I'm going to do this thing anyway. I'm going to, hey, and then pray. If you think that, Paul or Apollos, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, he has a portion of scripture that I think is useful for you. And I'm praying today that it would literally scare the hell out of you. Get the hell out of you. I'm not cursing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It's going to come up on the screen. This is what it says. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses, anybody who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be taught worthy of? Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be taught worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant of which he was sanctified just a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. But you listen to this last line. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So if we've come to this place where we understand that if we sin, that God will forgive us. And we understand that. Yo, that should bring freedom to you. That you don't, it's not when you make a mistake, when you do something wrong, that you don't have to feel like, oh my God, now I got to earn my way back. Now I'm going to read 5 chapters of the Bible. I'm going to read 2 chapters every day. I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. This time, I'm not getting on Facebook, Instagram. I'm turning it off. I'm shutting off everything. I'm disconnecting it. When we sing songs at church, I'm going to close my eyes. Pray. I'm going to come into church. I'm going to church early. He said 11:30. I'm going to be there at 11:15. I'm stacking a chair. I'm doing everything. And we start to work towards this stuff. And we think that we have to earn all of this stuff. When in reality, at what point and what moment kind of creates this space where God says, okay, now I forgive you. Now I love you again. Like, how long? You got to read 10 scriptures? Or is it 20? Or do you got to sing 4 songs with your eyes closed and really focused? Don't think about Instagram. Just be like, I'm listening to you, Lord. And I'm singing. How many songs do you got to sing before God loves you and forgives you? The Bible says that at the point of repentance, that at the moment that you ask God for forgiveness, at that very moment, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. That's hard to understand and to fathom. We hung these speakers. And it's crazy that a little metal rod, and Marshall was schooling me all on this, a little metal rod can carry so much weight. You're talking about you can hang 15,000 pounds on just a little metal ball. I can only imagine Mary, who was carrying this baby, the weight of eternity. But it was the grace of God that allowed for her to carry eternity. That me and you, we can actually carry this thing, and it comes through Jesus. That there's forgiveness for us, right? And for those of us that don't know Jesus, for those of us that are maybe watching online, or maybe you hear it, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that there's freedom for you. But this willful sinning, of like, I know that if I cross the line, he's going to forgive me, so I'm going to cross it anyway. There's judgment for that. There's condemnation for that. Because that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the grace of God. It's a heavy weight to carry. But it's something that God has given you grace. I hope that you understood it, and I hope that it made sense to you, because atonement would happen once a year. The children of Israel, they would sin before God, and then they would come and they would do lambs and sacrifices, and blood would have to be spilled. And then after they did that, then they would go and they would live their life again. And then they would come back another day, another year, and they would sacrifice. It was called atonement. It means to cover. They would cover their sin with like a blanket. It's like, God, you can't see my sin. You didn't see what I did there. And then slowly but surely, this thing started coming down. And the more that it came down, the more that God saw their sin. And then they would come back and they'll sacrifice a lamb. And they did this and over repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly. And then in John chapter 1, verse 29, John is baptizing in the River Jordan. And he sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. Not covers the sins, but that he removes it. It is through the blood of Jesus that you no longer have to walk in sin. You have freedom. And even if you make a mistake, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you shall be saved, but that you also receive forgiveness of your sins because of the propitiation, or the sacrifice whose name is Jesus. It wasn't the blood of animals anymore. It was the blood of Jesus. That you have access to a relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus. Every 50 years, they would have this thing called Jubilee. And if you owed something, if I sold you a property and you owed me money, after 50 years, that debt would be canceled. And that would be called the acceptable year of the Lord. That day of Jubilee, people would celebrate and they would scream, because if I sold my son, if I went into slavery, I would be able, on the 50th year Jubilee, I'd be free. And you watch as these young men that went at 12 years old, at 11 years old, because their parents got into debt. This was a totally different culture and a totally different time. But you would see these 11-year-old men come back as 20-somethings and 30-somethings and with a full beard, looking like Isaac in the back. And they would come out and they would be like, oh my God, is that little Johnny? Yeah, they would receive freedom. Here it is that Jesus is saying that today is the acceptable year of the Lord. That there's freedom available to you. That your debt, that the sin that you feel like you've accumulated so much, people don't know that one. If they knew about this one, then they wouldn't treat me the same way. He forgave that too. That he forgives that too. That he wipes that. That you're walking in the acceptable year of the Lord. That when Jesus came to preach this message, he came to preach freedom to you. That today is the acceptable day of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible, at the last verse or the last sentence of this scripture, it says, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. That today was a couple thousand years ago. And we've been living in that freedom ever since. But not all of us. When Jesus talks to the people of Nazareth, I think he did it on purpose. I think he read the scroll and he read the book of Isaiah on purpose because he understood, and little miracles did he do there. Very few people actually responded to this thing, but he understood, I need to go to the place where I am the closest to. I need to go to home. You know home is. Home is where mom's at. I need to go home. Like, I need to go to the most intimate place, and I need to let them know that there's freedom. I need to go to the closest place that you have. I need you to know that there's freedom. I don't think it's by happenstance that he did that. I think 2,000 something odd years later, he's speaking to you. And home, though it might not be a literal place, there's something inside of you that's broken. There's something inside of you that you wish that somebody would give you some good news. There would be some freedom in that area that you feel like you're chained up and locked up. You know that there's some terrorism that's happening in your mind, and that constantly you're getting bombarded with these thoughts, and you just wish that there was some type of freedom. You wish that you could just see God again. You wish that you could dream again. You wish that you can establish purpose again. And you wish that this debt that you carry around, I'm not going to do this because I owe too much here. And I can't make this decision because I'm still chained here and I still owe something here. I want to let you know that today can be a day of freedom for you. Would you do me a favor and would you bow your head just for a second?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach and empower all people. And we hope that this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please head to our website at www.greater.church, where you can read a message from our pastors, partner with us by giving online, and learn more about what is happening in the life of our church. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on all social media platforms at MyGreater.